I am Daniel Leakes, and welcome to Movie 101 Review. Movie 101 is created to empower movies and movies itself. And today, I have my special guest. She is my resident guest, no other than Miss Safa Bernal.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing today? I hope you're having a fantastic spring or autumn, depending on what hemisphere you are in. But I hope you're having a fantastic day.
Yes, spring. So, Ms. Bernal, last episode, we talked about Dune Part 2.
We did. Still living in my mind, rent-free. Denis Villeneuve's Dune 2 was just incredible visuals, fantastic music. I really enjoyed it. I do think that people should go watch both Dune and Dune 2 and just enjoy that experience of some very incredibly visceral and very aesthetically pleasing sci-fi.
Can you please introduce yourself first?
Hello, everybody. My name is Safa Bernal. I am a cyberpunk and mythpunk author, and I'm also somebody that used to work in the film community. So I've done everything from tiny little indie film to working as that person grabbing coffee on set. But I myself am a scriptwriter, and I also come as a producer, too, for film and TV. And so I'm here to talk about movies today. I'm also here to kind of promote the fact that I do have books. If you do like to read, please check me out at safabernal.com and you can see my cyberpunk and my mythpunk books.
Yes, people, let's support Miss Bernal, because if you support her, more books to come. So Miss Bernal, what movie we're going to talk about today?
We're going to talk John Wick. I am so excited.
John Wick, Wick.
Oh, yeah. Let's get that John Wick started. Oh, my goodness. I love action movies. So it was so refreshing to begin to watch this series. You know, there's several movies and a TV show now about John Wick. I believe there's also a video game that's either out or currently in production. And, I love it. You know, a generation ago, we had Jason Bourne. And now we've got John Wick. And it's over the top. It pounds your pulse. And it's just incredible, incredible storytelling. So really excited to get into it today.
Yes. So Ms. Bernal, if you compare John Wick to Tom Cruise series.
Mission Impossible?
Yes, Mission Impossible.
I think Mission Impossible started in a different place. You know, I think that's one thing that we have to look at with Mission Impossible. It started out in a time where things were less visceral in the action genre and things like that. And, you know, I love Mission Impossible movies. I think that the stunt work that Tom Cruise does is incredible. You know, there was the largest stunt that had ever been done on a film was in the last Mission Impossible movie. It was this motorcycle drive down a mountainside, and where he vaulted himself into the air and ended up skydiving down to the valley below. And it was the largest event in film of its kind ever that had ever been done. And Tom Cruise did it himself, did it once, and went, yeah, do you need another take? You know, at least that's, you know, what the scuttlebutt is. Incredible, you know, just the scope of it. You know, when you see Mission Impossible movies, especially the more recent ones, you know, everything from the famous moment of him kind of being lowered down into a vault and splaying out, trying to keep himself from touching any of the sides or the bottom, you know, even that was impressive for its day. Mission Impossible, for me, that movie series is more about all of the stunts and how they one-up themselves into these crazy, incredible stunts, you know, climbing in just insanely large buildings and the different things they do, the spectacle of it with that spy versus spy, don't know who to trust, kind of getting into different levels of government and different levels of intrigue. That is one incredible film series. Two, John Wick, for me, feels more intimate. It's close quarters. It's, you know, fighting the mob. It's fighting other assassins. You know, it's people who are at the top of their martial arts and their, shall we say, kinetic game. Pew pew. If you understand what I'm talking about with the, you know, the target practice, going up against each other in very close quarters. And so for me, that viscerality is a very different experience in John Wick than it is in the Mission Impossible movies. Even though, I mean, you look at what Tom Cruise is able to do and you look at what Keanu Reeves is able to do and you're like, oh, wow, these gentlemen are training like crazy to be able to do these things. And you could really see that they're at the top of their skills. John Wick belongs within this sort of secret society that lives in a world parallel to ours, let's say, a secret society of assassins and slightly more mobbish evildoers and things like that. But mostly we're talking about the assassins here. And John Wick was known in the first movie. They were like, he's the Baba Yaga, you know, which I'm going, okay, yeah, Baba Yaga, not exactly, you know, I mean, elderly witch with a chicken hut. John Wick. Oh, okay. I could get into, you know, the mythological of Baba Yaga in Slavic culture later. But they say, you know, he's like Baba Yaga, you know, he's the boogeyman. He is the demon in the shadows. He is the most efficient and effective killer that this continental system has ever produced. And yet, when we first see him in the original John Wick movie, he's a husband in love with his wife. And she ends up passing. You know, this happens in the first few minutes of the movie. So, spoiler alert, but I'm of the mind that if a movie came out more than 5 years ago, or actually more than 10 years ago, spoilers are okay.
Yes.
That's my personal opinion. If it's taking you 10 years to watch the movie, you're just going to have to handle spoilers. And John Wick, yes, the first one came out in 2014. So it's 10 years old.
Yes.
Now, so spoiler alert, John Wick's wife dies in the hospital of some form of illness. And then she basically, as a parting gift to him, has a puppy delivered to their home as a way for John to have someone to love and to kind of help him heal by raising this puppy. And so, you know, you get the first few minutes of him and his life as a family man with a wife. You know, you get him at the funeral and how lost he seems and, you know, how he feels with the puppy and all this kind of thing. And so you're really emotionally primed to feel for this person. And then a mobster's idiot son, who's all like, give me your car. No, I'm not giving you my car. Kills the dog. Okay. The idiot mobster son kills the dog. Yes. And anybody who has owned dogs or who is themselves, you know, a pet person, I love my puppies, my dogs. My spouse and I, we rescue dogs. You know, he and I, we take on dogs that are a little bit older. You know, they've been through some stuff, you know, so they need a bit of extra care and things like that. Right now we have a Jindo that was rescued from Korea. And so anybody who has that experience of, you know, loving an animal, loving their pet, is looks at John Wick and they're like, yeah, that's understandable. Yeah, okay. Whatever John Wick does, I'm there for it. You know, they did a very excellent job of, instead of saving the cat, kind of flipping the saving the cat idiom in filmmaking on its head, and instead avenging the dog. And so anything that John Wick does to avenge the dog, that is just totally acceptable, you know, by that point. And so John Wick, this man who we don't know is powerful until this situation occurs, we then find out that he is the boogeyman. He is in this incredible monologue that the now passed, I believe, Michael Nyquist, who's playing Viggo Teresolf, you know, he basically is like, you killed the boogeyman's dog. Well, here's a shot of vodka. Enjoy your death. Nothing else is going to happen, you know. So we find out through this process, and through, you know, Nyquist's character sending assassins to try, you know, he knows it's fruitless. He knows it's futile, but he's got to try because that's his son. you know, sending assassins to go attack John Wick. And as John Wick is using a sledgehammer to break through the foundation of his new life, he goes down underneath to the old, picks up his guns, and there's a scene inside his home, which is the first indication that John Wick is incredibly powerful and talented and hardworking when it comes to dealing death. This is something too that we, you know, I remember watching the original John Wick and I was like, Keanu? Whoa! What? I mean, we had the Matrix. We knew he had some action chops, but what? You know, all of a sudden my eyes were opened, as they say. And it was like, oh my gosh. You know, Keanu Reeves, apparently he just did so much work. And he, you know, applied himself to learning these skills until they were second nature. And you can really see that on the screen. You know, acting is a pantomime at the best of times. But in order to act authentically, especially when it comes to actions and things done that are very physical on screen, you do need to actually know what you're doing. You do need proper training for that. This is something that I stand by. I mean, yes, you can kind of work something up before a movie. You can do intensives and, you know, learn how to lightsaber fight, but you can, the screen does not lie. You know, it can tell the difference between somebody who's just doing this as, you know, a stunt or cut, you know, all these little shortcuts to cover up, you know, something that might not have been the most fluid physically. But with John Wick too, we get these really interesting cinematographical choices of these long shots kind of going with him and things like that, where there's nowhere to hide. If Keanu Reeves didn't know what he was doing, there was nowhere to hide that. In those long yes. panning shots, in those close-ups, in those raw bits of scene work, you know, you're either an expert in what you do or it's okay, let's take it a cut, let's take it again. So seeing him with the ability that he had was like, okay, now I'm invested.
Something else.
I was like, yep, that's it. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Let's lean forward in the chair. The popcorn goes on the coffee table, and my my husband and I were just kind of leaning forward and we were like, oh dang.
Something else.
Yeah, because both of us are martial artists, although I don't it anymore, but I did both train and teach martial arts for almost a decade, so we were both like,
you know, new technique.
What move is that? Okay, no, that comes from, you know, we're both trying to call the moves, going, oh yeah, no, that's this kind of cross training. Oh no, I swear he did this, you know, we're like,
Yeah, so Ms. Berna, let's compare Little Buddha, Matrix, and John Wick. What do you think is the most popular?
Ooh, I think the Matrix was such a cultural event. You know, especially the first couple and that initial trilogy. It was such a incredible event in science fiction that it's almost like comparing apples and mangoes. You know, both of yes. them are a fruit, but you treat both of them very differently and they're grown in different places. And this sort of John Wick action thriller sort of entertainment series, I think, although it does have a little bit of, you know, that kind of philosophical bent in the subtext when you go into Derek Kolstad's writing, and I think Derek Kolstad has done a fantastic job of writing these scripts. I think The Matrix is more philosophical, and I think The Matrix is more about us questioning technology and questioning ourselves. And so when you look at The Matrix in that way, and you look at the imagery in The Matrix versus something like John Wick, I mean, you can really tell the difference between the Wachowskis' kind of bent towards the way that they think and the way that they approach a story and the way that they approach kind of certain things that we need to seriously think about as a society, versus the John Wick movies, which were directed by a stunt coordinator and action choreographer. You know, you could very much tell that these movies were quite different in that. I think that The Matrix still has things to say, but I think lately John Wick is the thing. I think it's changed the way that we see action a little bit. I think it's given us the ability to look at people like Chad Stahelski and people who are stunt coordinators and action choreographers and being like, yeah, let's let the action choreographers direct. Let's do that, as we've seen in all four of the John Wick movies and, you know, some of the background information. Let's let these guys have their chance to really go deep in there and enjoy having a film of their own, because you can really tell what John Wick was set up as. And, you know, as pure entertainment, whereas The Matrix, you can argue, was a little bit more on the philosophical side, which I love, you know, absolutely love. I'm a cyberpunk author. Of course, I love philosophical cyberpunk and philosophical sci-fi. But if I think of, you know, the rest of the whole career that Keanu has had, I still have a very fond place in my heart for Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. So,
yes, it's something else. Keanu Reeves films is something else, people. But Ms. Bernal, before we go on, I want to shout out the people listening in Germany. Guten Tag, Guten Morgen, what time in there. Because in Bavaria, got 28%, has 24, North Rhine-Westphalia, Lower Saxony, Land Berlin, Hamburg, Thuringia, Saxony, Anhalt. Oh, I don't know how to pronounce them, but thank you, Germany. I have a lot of places in Germany listening to Movie 101 Review. Thank you so much, because in web browser, I got 60.3%, Apple Podcast 15, Podcast Addict at 8.2, Amazon Music is 6.8, and a lot more. Thank you so much for supporting this podcast, because this podcast is created to empower movies like John Wick. So I read in one of these websites that they have John Wick Part 5. Is it true, Ms. Bernal?
It appears to be in production, yes. It is on a wait list right now, so there's not much information on it. I don't even have any poster or art on IMDb, but it is in production. I'm very glad to hear that. I know back when the first John Wick came out, there was this anecdotal interview with Keanu Reeves basically going, and this is not a quote, but this is just basically going, they'll make John Wick movies until people are tired of them.
Oh, wow.
And so
that's amazing.
I'm like, can we get John Wick 20? You know, I want to see that action of a 92-year-old Keanu Reeves in a wheelchair or with a walker doing some form of kung fu. Like, I really do. I want to see that.
So, Ms. Bernard, what are the techniques that John Wick did in martial arts that we can do in real life?
So there was definitely a combination of some very quick striking arts, a little bit of Krav, you know, especially with a lot of the kind of gun disarms and various weapon disarms. That sort of explosive, powerful, put you on the ground is reminiscent of early Krav Maga, which is an Israeli defense system. There's also some groundwork. You could get to see some of the manipulation flows and some of the throws that you get from things like jiu-jitsu and judo. That's really fun. We can do that too. Krav is excellent for self-defense. You know, if you get a real hardcore Krav person, then it is a fantastic way to kind of get into self-defense. Where other arts, like I was a Taekwondo instructor. Taekwondo, not Olympic style. This is martial arts, not Olympic style, but Taekwondo has a lot of benefits for health and for discipline and for confidence. It has a lot of fun, incredible things you can do. And like, as we've seen the MMA with Anthony Pettis, you know, there's definitely a lot of Taekwondo kicks that are incredibly powerful and fantastic. Is it the most practical for self-defense to try and jump kick somebody in the head? Not so much. So we see a little bit more of that sort of tight, controlled, a little bit of Wing Chun, I would say, in some of those really close ways that he would get in those fast moves with your elbows in and that kind of thing, especially in kind of corridor environments. Once we get to the larger hallways and they're able to sort of open themselves up, then we get into some more of just, you know, striking art. We get into that, the Krav, and then the weapons training, which is incredible. I heard that Keanu Reeves did a lot of training with, you know, sort of military style as well, in order to prepare for that. And that is its own kind of martial environment, you know, sort of techniques that are not necessarily present in a lot of martial arts, because very few martial arts are teaching things like gun control, at least as a gigantic part of their programs, in my opinion. So the weapons training itself, the way that he clears a room, the way that, you know, you get that sort of disabling shots to the body and then an extra one to the head just to make sure, you know, that kind of thing feels very military or very paramilitary. Whereas I would say if you wanted to do like sort of training as somebody outside of firearms, but with martial arts, to be like, okay, what do they do? What can I do to be a little bit more, you know, capable in sort of certain environments, I would definitely go with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I would go with Krav Maga, and I would go with a striking art, either like Muay Thai, kickboxing, Taekwondo, karate, something like that. And just really, I think it's also, you have to know your instructor. Who are you going to classes with? Are they somebody who's more on the fitness and confidence and entertainment side, or are they somebody who's like, you know what, the world is not necessarily the nicest place and you need to know how to defend yourself? And just as a heads up too, you know, I feel it's important to note, as a former martial arts instructor, sometimes the best way that you can defend yourself is giving them your effing wallet and running away. You know, you don't always have to be in a fight. Not all of us are John Wick. Yes. Sometimes the best thing to do is just like take my money and then run. You know, it also things like maybe don't have earbuds and your hoodie up while you're walking down the street late at night, going through alleyways to catch the next bus. Like maybe take the longer way around where there's more people, don't have both earbuds in your ears and be aware of your surroundings. You know, things like that, that comes into martial arts too. But if you want to enjoy in the fantasy of John Wick in the dojang or the dojo or wherever you're training, then I definitely think Krav, BJJ, and then a striking art.
Yes. So do you think John Wick will be the trademark of Keanu Reeves?
Ooh. That's a good question, because he's had so many trademarks. You know, between The Matrix and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures, between, you know, Speed, and then you've got John Wick. I think, though, there is something truly special feeling about John Wick. You know, the way that he goes about it, the way that he dived into the role, the way that he learned in order to do it. There's something here that we didn't necessarily see as often before this took place. So I would like to think that this would be something that he will always be remembered as John Wick.
Yes, indeed. So, Ms. Bernal, can you please invite our listeners to support or watch John Wick series and, of course, promote your books?
All right, everybody. Please, if you are into action and you're okay with some actual violence, which is really what it is, if that is your kind of film, make sure you see all the John Wick movies. Give the TV series, the mini series, The Continental, a try. That one is also pretty darn good and has some pretty kick-ass characters in there, pun intended on the kicking. Go take a look, watch all the movies, support Keanu Reeves, support these guys that are making these films. They're doing such an incredible job, and they're so amazing to see the spectacle of it and to see the training that goes in to something that just exalts the visual medium to such an incredible regard. If you want to know more about myself, my books, and my projects, including the audio drama Waxwing, then please go to saphaburnell.com. That is SAPHABURNELL.com. And you can check out my cyberpunk series, The Lieben Cycle, my mythpunk series, The Judge of Mystic Saga, my poetry, which we're going to be talking about on Book 101 today, and also Waxwing and other projects that are coming down the gangplank. I'd very much appreciate it. Please follow me on social media at Usurper Kings. That is at Usurper Kings, also the name of my first book. And I hope everybody has a fantastic day.
Yes, let's support Miss Safa Burnell. As I said, you should support her. More books to come. And please do listen to my other podcast, Book 101 Review with Miss Safa Burnell. We always do Safa Sunday. So please do listen for both podcasts. I have a lot of podcast people, but prioritize Book 101 Review and Movie 101 Review. Plus, my latest e-commerce people, I want to share to you people my latest invention. I'm doing this Food 101 trademarks. Food 101, if you are looking for pet hoodie, I have a pet hoodie, jigsaw puzzle, and a lot more. Please do visit my e-commerce website from Etsy. I will gonna put below the link of this episode. And please do support my e-business, available on Etsy and Shopify. So, Ms. Burnell, thank you for your time.
And thank you for yours. I hope you have a fantastic week.
Morning, people. See you soon.